at 5:30, and we'll be very prompt, and we're going to keep it at an hour so you can get on with your Christmas Eve celebration. So that's going to be good stuff. Today is the last installment of our four-part series on prayer. This kind of birthed out of a number of conversations that I've had in recent days about prayer, and so I thought that seems like a good time to teach about it. So let's recap very quickly. First of all, let's once again get our definition of prayer. Christian prayer, in its full New Testament meaning, is prayer addressed to God as Father in the name of Christ as mediator and through the enabling grace of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And let's do a quick recap. If you were not here for one of the other three messages and you would like it, it's available on our podcast for free. I invite you to do that. The first week we talked about these types of things and others. Prayer is offered in faith. It doesn't matter what you pray. It doesn't matter when you pray. It doesn't matter to whom you pray. And it doesn't matter about what you pray. Whenever you pray in faith. Now the question is what is the ability of the individual or the entity in which you pray? You can pray to a rock till the cows come home, but the rock can't help you. You can pray to an idol and it can't help you. So all prayer is offered in faith. The question is who is the faith being expressed in? And we know that faith in Christ alone is what makes the difference. The wicked pray and believe if. They put conditions. God, I'll love you if. God, I'll pray to you if. God, I'll serve you if. Well, my friends, it just doesn't work that way. Because you see, as believers, we pray because. God, I love you because what? Jesus. God, I love you because you first loved me. God, I love you because of the empty tomb. God, I love you that I have the privilege of prayer. God, I love you because one day heaven. You see, we are responding to what God has already given to us, not setting standards of expectation in relationship with God. God wants us to talk to Him, and we talked about that through prayer, through a constant conversation. Second week, we talked about that there's nothing wrong with repeatedly asking as long as what you're praying for is within the will of God. The question is it a sin to keep asking God for something? Well, no, it's not. So long as it's not outside the clearly defined, clearly stated boundaries of God's will for you or God's allowance. And then how do we know when to stop? Well, we keep on asking until either until either God grants our prayer request or God changes our heart about it. How do I know when do I quit? Well, either God gives it to me or God changes my heart about it. It seems easy, but it's a little harder than it seems sometimes. And then last week, we talked about are there different types of prayers? And we did. We talked about there's the prayer of agreement, and that's where we're talking about healing. And we're going to do one of those right now this morning. How many of you guys are on some variants of sick? Okay? All right. Now, I'm not going to ask who's contagious because then you'll freak us all out. But some variants of sick. And we have Heather who's watching us by the webcast today. She's been hospitalized for bed rest trying to take care of that little baby boy for a couple more days. But she's not coming home without the boy. And so let's go ahead. We're going to have just a prayer of agreement today for all of us that are working through illness today. Shall we? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. And Father, we ask that you would just bring about healing in our bodies, in our minds, in our spirits. Lord, for those who are in the hospital today, we pray for them. Lord, for those that are here today, Lord, on crutches and wheeled scooters and in other forms of illness, Father, we pray for them today. And Father, for those who would like to be here today, but illness kept them from being here, Lord, we ask that you would heal. We ask that you would heal completely and timely. And Lord, we ask that you would do it in such a way that would not rob you of your glory. And we'll give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. And then we talked about the prayer of request. That's where we share our needs. It's okay to share our needs. God says he'll meet our needs. We just have to make sure we're not confusing needs with greeds. We talked about the prayer of thanksgiving. And that's where we thank God for what he has done, his deeds. And if you need me to help you prime a list of Thanksgiving prayer, just see me after service. I'll help you out. Then there's the prayer of worship. That's where we pray and thank God for his character. That's who he is, not what he's done. There's two different things there. His character. And that's a beautiful, powerful place to be. We also talked about the prayer of consecration. That's where you ask God to take you and to set you aside and to make you usable and transformable for His glory. And then the last one, we prayed for the prayer of intercession. Last Sunday, we prayed for the First Baptist Church of Alva in Northwest Oklahoma and Pastor Chris Ruwalt. You remember they were meeting last Sunday. And I'm honored to tell you that the church voted to call Pastor Chris and his family, and they accepted the call to go there. And so they're planning to be there the first Sunday of the new year. I'm glad I'm not having to move that quickly. But you know what we're going to do today is we're going to intercede for the First Baptist Church of Alice. You know why? Because this morning they begin the process of finding a new pastor as Chris announces his relocation. So we're going to stop and we're going to pray for First Baptist Church Alice this morning. Father, we thank you for our sister church down in the valley. And Father, we pray today as this announcement will come to them, Lord, as a surprise to most, if not all, Lord, that you would bless them and calm their hearts. Father, we pray that they would not perceive this as an act of vengeance or meanness, but Lord, it's a man who's seeking you, and it, by all accounts, appears that your will for him is to be somewhere else today. Father, as a pastor, I know that our station of duty is not always chosen by us, and Father, we, like our wonderful men and women in the military, have signed on the contract. Lord, where you lead, we'll go. And Father, we pray for First Baptist Church Alice today as they will begin the process of finding your new man for them. We ask that it would be calm. We ask that it would be timely. We ask that it would be highly successful for your glory and for their good. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. And then today's question is this: is it okay for me to pray for myself? And if so, how? I had a wonderful conversation with one of my sisters in the faith that kind of produced this, and I've been thinking about her all week as I was preparing this. Can I pray for myself? And if it is okay, how do I do it? So let's get going. The 37th Psalm tells us this: delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. That I like that one, don't you? He'll give you the desires of your heart. That's great. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, Matthew tells us. Let's look at the first one. The first prayer is the prayer of delight. Whatever it takes, Lord, give me delight in you as the greatest treasure of my heart. The first prayer that we can pray for ourselves in absolute confidence is, Lord, teach me to delight in you. Amen? Oh, man, you guys are getting on board early today. Lord, let me delight in you for my past. Now you're going, now wait a minute, Jimmy, you don't know my past. You're right, I don't. But you know what? We can delight in the Lord because the Lord was with us in our past. The Lord saved me from my own self in my past. The Lord was with me on the mountaintops of my past. The Lord was with me in the valleys of my past. And those things in the past were forming me to be the man I am today. Amen? I can delight in the Lord's glory, His goodness, His protection, and His process. The Lord kept my bride and I apart for a year before we met. You know why? Because He needed to change me. You see, the Lord was in my past, and I can thank Him for that. I can thank Him that the promise of His Word says, for He can use all things for good. Not everything in my past is good. There's a lot of pain back there. There's a lot of sorrow back there. There's a lot of bad choices back there. But my God is redeeming that day by day. When I stood at the Victims Impact Panel last Thursday night and shared the story of my mother's drunk driving death, God was again redeeming my past. And I delight in Him for that. We can delight in Him for our present. Listen, if you can't find something to delight in the Lord in today, you're not looking hard enough. Delight in the Lord for our present. We don't know. I mean, today is not perfect, right? I mean, if you'd have walked in here today and we had hot cocoa, some of you would have wanted hot cider. Some of you would have wanted hot coffee. You can't please everybody all the time. But we can be delighted in the Lord in our present. And you know what? We could be delighted in the Lord for our future. You know why? Because one day heaven. Now, I don't know when I'm going to step into that place, but between here and there, God's got it. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know where it's going, but I know who's got it. And I can delight in Him. You know why? Because as I look back, I can delight in where I've come from. And when I look around, I can delight in where I am. And God's character says he's the same, what, yesterday, today, and what?
Forever.
So the same God of my yesterday and the same God of your today is the same God of our future, and we can delight in him. Amen and amen. Whew, I'm getting worked up. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew teaches us this. Whatever it takes, Lord, align the desires of my heart with yours. The second prayer we could pray is this, is God, the desires of my heart, make them parallel yours. I want, every time we hear that, we talk about these verses, I want you to think of a railroad track. Do you know what a railroad track that doesn't parallel each other is good for? A train wreck. And you see, that's what our prayer for ourselves is, Lord, whatever it takes, align my desires. You know why? Because I've got a heart full of desires. I've got a mind full of desires, and you do too. Now the question is who's the conductor on the train? Is it you? Is it our society? Is it some third party yet to be named? Or is it God? We need to ask the Lord to parallel our desires in our relationships. That's friendships, that's dating, that's marriage. In our careers, in our studies, for you guys that are still in school and going to school and all those kind of things. And there's just a list of things. Let's do it really quick. Anybody have something else that God could align our desires to his? Anything else? Well, man, I'm glad I didn't carve out a whole lot of time for that. Okay. John 15 tells us this. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. A little dyslexia train wreck there. Whatever it takes, now we see those railroad tracks, right? Whatever it takes, Lord, increase my awareness of my dependence on you in everything so that I will live continually by faith. Do you know what faith is? Is faith is when you realize you need something more than you could produce. Yep. Right? And so our prayer is a prayer of dependence. Lord, in life events. Now the funny thing about life events is they don't have to take you too far before you're recognizing your dependence, right? Lord, whatever it takes, remind me daily, remind me moment by moment, remind me situation by situation that my life depends on you. Now, there's one way you can think of this. Every time you do this, God created that. And I don't know if you know this, but you're a little dependent upon that. If you don't believe me, just try doing without it for what? Minute and a half? 2 minutes? 3 minutes? Anyone here hold 3 minutes? We got three. Anybody? Three? All right. Hey, listen. The more we're aware of our dependence on the Lord, the greater his glory. Our dependence upon him in life provisions. Can I say this? God owns everything. Can I say this? There's not one thing under the domain of your hands, your mind, and your feet that's yours. You're just temporary steward of it. Because one day, either Jesus is going to come get us all at once, amen, or you're going to step to him one at a time, and you don't own anything. Somebody behind you is going to pick it up and run with the ball. You see, the dependence teaches us not to hold on to things so tightly. That causes so much stress in our world. To get all we can all we get, and sit on the can. When you realize that the God, the creator of all that is, owns it all, and he is keenly aware of and desires to meet your needs, it's okay. He's got you. And then our life's progression. I am dependent upon him. Listen, if God is not in the future, if God is not in the progression of my life, then my friends, I have nothing. Someone once asked me, what would you do? What does it mean if there is no God, if the Bible's not true, if there is no Jesus? And I said, quite honestly, it means I have nothing. How can I walk away from Jesus? Because without him, I have nothing. I have a hole to look forward to. And that's about it. You see, God help us to be more aware of our dependence going forward. In Hebrews, it says this, "But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." Anyone here ever had your little one choke because you tried to feed him steak too early? "Listen, Mama, I know he's only 6 weeks old, but that boy needs some steak." Well, the truth is, that's where we are too. Whatever it takes, we're seeing those railroad tracks. Lord, whatever it takes, teach me to discern good from evil through righteous exercise of constant practice. Do you know how you get good at something? You do it routinely. The athletes call it muscle memory. And God says he wants us to be discerning. He wants us to learn how to discern, how to tell right from wrong, good from evil, beneficial from destructive, best from better. And how do we do that? Well, first, we always look to God's Word. Amen? That's why you need to be a student of the Word. God has spoken to us very clearly in many areas of life. We go to the Word of the Lord and say, "Lord, what does your Word say about it?" Secondly, we allow the Holy Spirit through God's Word and God's Holy Spirit's presence in us to speak to us. We don't have some random conscience who's just kind of spinning the wheel of luck. When God's Holy Spirit indwells you, sometimes it'll whisper in your ear, "Don't do that." Sometimes it'll scream, "Don't do it!" What do we need to discern? Thirdly, we need to listen to counsel of others. Let me just make a little caveat right here. The wise counsel of godly people, don't listen to the counsel of heathens. Don't listen to counsel of the ungodly. Listen, they may love you, they may care for you, they may have 1,000 books on their shelves, but my friend, listen, if they're not pointing you down the railroad tracks of Jesus, God's Word, and God's Holy Spirit, you don't need to listen to that. As kind and as, how do I know? I used to give a lot of advice. Sometimes I use my power for evil, sometimes I use it for good. Taylor, how many times have I had you jump into things? A lot. He's growing up a little bit better. The cost of getting him to jump into things costs me a lot more. But the counsel of others, and then lastly, the experience of my own or others. You know, I look around my world and it's easy for me to see what other people are doing, and it's even more easy for me to see the outcome of their actions. I do not have to step on a nail to know that a nail in my foot will hurt, although I've done it. Is there anyone here that's never had the privilege of stepping on a rusty nail? You haven't, Darcy? Oh, you have. Anyone ever not done it? Melinda, you have it? You have it? Well, let's get together this afternoon. I really want to share that experience with you. Ronnie, we have a rusty nail on campus, don't we?
Sure we do.
We could do that before you leave. Right after business meeting, we'll give that to you. You know why they don't want to do that? Because they know someone who has. Jeff, you've stepped on a nail, haven't you? Yeah, squealed like a pig. Last time I stepped on a rusty nail, I felt it go through the sole of my shoe. I felt it go through the sole of my foot. And I'm standing there looking at the board and I go,
"Really?"
Because I was all by myself and I started thinking, how am I going to get this out? And so I put my foot on the end of the board and start wiggling it off.
Yeah.
You sure you don't want a rusty nail experience? It came off, and ladies, you know what I did? I go, "How long ago was that tetanus shot?" It's good. But God, whatever it takes, teach me to discern. Not by what I think, not by what the world thinks, not by what the government thinks, not by what my friends think, not by what my boss thinks, not by what my heart thinks, but what you think. When you pursue God's discernment, my friends, your average will go through the roof. The psalmist tells us this, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." Lord, whatever it takes, keep me desperate for you because I tend to wander when I stop feeling the need of you. You know what desperation is? Oh, you do. You do. You take that phone call at 3 in the morning. desperation. You see the scanner come across your phone of an accident in Greenville where Care Flight's being called in, and you know what? You immediately start thinking, okay, so where's... I know I do. When you almost lose your bride in a car accident, I'm thinking, there's been more than one time I've had to really rein it in not to call her and look like kind of a girly guy. Hey, baby, where are you? But I can't say this. I don't always pass that test. Lord, whatever it takes, teach me to remain desperate for you. You see, we see desperation as a sign of weakness, but when we are constantly desperate for God, it keeps us in a place of constant recognition of who He is, what He's doing, and what we need, and what the outcome will be. You see, the opposite of desperation is arrogance. And when arrogance comes into our lives, my friend, then danger is sure to follow. Hebrews tells us this: He disciplines us for our own good, that we may share His holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Have you ever disciplined your kid and they immediately go, "Hey, thank you so much. I know you love me." We see, we pray, "Lord, whatever it takes, discipline me for my good, that I might share your holiness and bear the peaceful fruit of righteousness." Lord, discipline me. That's tough, isn't it? Is there anyone in here that loves to be on the wrong side of right? I don't. I don't joy in that. Lord, hold me accountable. Now, I joke about this, but I'm thankful. The Lord, on my little dog leash, I got two links. That's about as far as I could go. And I'm so thankful for that. Lord, I don't want to run out too far ahead of you. Lord, thank you for the accountability. Lord, thank you for the correction. What will the Lord do to correct us? Well, God is more concerned about your eternal development than your temporary convenience. He loves you that much. Parents, you love them that much, don't you? And then lastly, and I thank God for this, is His discipline is consistent. There's nothing more confusing, there's nothing more aggravating than inconsistent discipline. Lord, thank you that you love me, you hold me accountable, you discipline me, and you know what? Your rules don't change. Officer McGee, don't you like that? The rules don't change. We're going to pray for Colin. He starts a police academy Monday. We're excited for you, sir. And no, he will not let you out of a ticket. You know why? He's a man of character. Colin. Look carefully then how you walk, not as an unwise, but as a wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. My friends, you get one walk through. And you know why the days are evil? Because you don't know when they're going to end. I was watching a movie the other night. It says this, that death gives value to time. Isn't that true? Because if it weren't for death, you'd have all the time in the world. But my friends, in this life, it's appointed unto man what? Once to die. Let's look. Prayer of diligence. Lord, whatever it takes, increase my resolve to do your will with all diligence. Now listen, you can talk about loving God. You can face a book about loving God. You can wear t-shirts about loving God. But are you committed to being diligent in action, deed, and thought? Without reservation, you don't get to be diligent and pick and choose. God, I'll be diligent here, but I'm not going to be diligent there. It doesn't work that way. God wants it all. God deserves it all. God demands it all. He's a holy God, a jealous God. God, teach me to be obedient to you without reservation. Teach me to be obedient to you without company. You know what? Sometimes the call of God will take you all by your lonesome. It doesn't matter if you have to go alone. Go there. You know why? Because there alone with God's better here than here without His approval. And just understand that diligence sometimes means you have to walk alone. A leader always feels like he's walking alone. You know why? Because usually there's people following him or her. God, teach us to be diligent. Teach us to be diligent without reservation, without company if necessary, and then without regret. My friends, here's the truth. Is if you are doing what you absolutely believe is God's will to the very best of your ability, even if you fall short of batting 1,000, no regrets. No regrets. Because God desires obedience. I was reading an article this week. The number one question that a pastor should never ask is this: is it worth it? Do you know why? Because if you start living with regrets, down the ship will go. God calls his men to his service. And he says, no reservations, no company, and no regrets. Lord, teach us to be diligent. So, Jimmy, what would my life be like without self-prayer? Let me share this with you. Now, what if I told you that someone in this room is going to win this car today in a drawing? Who says you're a liar? You're not going to get this car. Because the truth is I'd tape my name to the bottom of the bucket. Look who won, Pastor Jimmy. Hey, imagine that.
Rigged.
Absolutely rigged. Now, some of you don't appreciate the beauty of what you're seeing. But many of you do on differing levels. Now imagine if we had this car sitting outside and it's got chromed out wheels, black leather interior. I mean, it is on fleek, if I can say that for our younger generation. It is sharp. It is, for all the car enthusiasts, it is cherry. It's beautiful. It looks good. Now, what if I were to pull the pins out of the hood there? You see it's pinned down because it goes so fast. And I opened that hood. And inside that beautiful car and inside that engine compartment, you know what's there? Nothing. Nothing. It's just a big hole. You see, family, if we are not consistent to pray for ourselves and our spiritual development, we may look good on the outside, but the engine that takes us down the road isn't there. You see, you can't be for God without the engine. You can't want for God without the engine. You can't do for God without the engine. You can't sacrifice for God without the engine. Personal prayer is very important. It's vital for your long-term health, your long-term stability, and your long-term development. Here's your take on prayer today. Prayer is equally important for yourself as it is for others. Strive to develop a well-rounded and mature prayer life through faithfulness and